Today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, we continue in our series called The Habits of Happiness. In these lessons, Pastor Rick dives into the book of Philippians and helps you discover God's path to true and lasting happiness. In a few moments, we're going to tell you about a very special Bible study called The Habits of Happiness. These comprehensive teachings will help you discover and live out the biblical habits that lead to true and lasting happiness. Find out more by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 while you listen to today's message. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part two of a message called How to Keep Your Heart Happy.
Now we go to verse 14. This deals with the second cause of the loss of happiness: fretting and fighting over the small stuff. Do you ever do that? Yes, we all do it. We fret and we fight over the small stuff. That's verse 14. Now, this is a hard habit to break because we're negative by nature and we're conditioned by our culture. And ever since Adam and Eve existed, we have been going around excusing and accusing, excusing and accusing, excusing and accusing. We excuse ourselves for all the mistakes we make, and we accuse everybody else of all the mistakes. We hide and we hurl, and we blame others for the problems in our life. And we say, you know, if I just had a different husband, then I'd be happy. If I had just hadn't gotten married, then I'd be happy. If I had children, I'd be happy. If my children would leave home, I'd be happy. That's that when and then thinking. And we're always blaming somebody else. I've said this many times. You are as happy as you choose to be. You can't blame anybody else. Happiness is a choice. And you have to stop excusing it and accusing. And you have to stop fretting and fighting over the small stuff. Now, Philippians 2, 14 and 15 says this: do everything without complaining or arguing, so that no one can speak a word of blame against you. That, there, friends, may be one of the most difficult verses in the Bible. Would you agree with that? Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that nobody can speak a word of blame against you. This week I wrote a list of the type of complainers that I run into all the time. I didn't put your name down. I just put the description. First are the whiners. You got any whiners in your life? And when they complain, they rise and whine in the morning. I saw a bumper sticker the other day said, "I may rise, but I refuse to shine." That's what a whiner does. They wake up negative. You know, people used to always ask Kay, "Do you wake up grouchy?" She said, "No, I usually let him sleep." Again, this is a choice. You can get up in the morning and you can say, "Good morning, Lord," or "Good Lord, it's morning." That's a choice. You have a choice. And the second habit of happiness, the second skill, the second exercise in the workout for a happy heart: you got to learn to be grateful. Always grateful and never grumble. Always grateful, never grumble. They're whiners. Then the second kind of complainers are martyrs. Don't look at them. Their favorite expression is, "Nobody appreciates me." And they are pros at throwing pity parties. They love to have people. "Everybody hates me. Nobody loves me. I'm going to go eat worms." They're martyrs. Made me think of that hypochondriac who had put on her tombstone, "I told you I was sick." She was a martyr. How do you react when you don't get your way, huh? How do you react when you don't get your way? Do you pout? Do you mount a complaining campaign? Do you continue to fuss and argue and complain and moan? "But Mom..." They're whiners and they're martyrs. Third kind of complainer I see are the cynics. And the cynics take a different approach. Their attitude is, "What's the use? Why bother? Why try? It isn't going to make any difference." And cynics, they just kind of poison everything. It's like the lady who walked into the the seafood restaurant, and she said to the waiter, sir, do you serve crabs here? He said, ma'am, we serve everybody. Or the lady walked into the grocery store, and the clerk said, shopping bag? And she said, no, just looking. There are cynics. And then number four, there are perfectionists. Perfectionists. And perfectionists, nothing is ever good enough for these complainers. You know, everything is just not quite the way it ought to be. They're unpleasable. And, you know, the favorite phrase is that the best you can do? And if you got C's, the perfectionist wants you to get B's. If you got B's, they want you to get A's. If you got A's, they want you to get straight A's. But we are complainers. And the Bible says if you want to be happy, you've got to be grateful and never grumble. Do everything without complaining or arguing so no one can speak a word of blame against you. You know, to me, friends, the scariest verse in the Bible is Matthew 12:36. It's not on your outline. You might write that one down. Matthew 12:36. It's up here on the screen. It's something Jesus said. Here's what he said. I tell you this, that you will give an account on judgment day of every careless word you have spoken. That ought to send shivers up your spine.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. You can sign up for Pastor Rick's free email devotional at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com.
Most people look for happiness in all the wrong places. You won't find it through money, fame, or power. You'll only find real, lasting happiness by following God's commands. That's why Pastor Rick created the Habits of Happiness Bible Study. You'll discover how happiness runs deeper than any circumstance, feeling, or relationship because of God's unconditional love for you. This interactive, full-color, hardcover book is filled with biblical truths, scripture, practical lessons, application exercises, and prayers to guide your journey. It's a comprehensive study tool that will help you experience the biblical habits that lead to true and lasting happiness. This Bible study is available only on Daily Hope, and quantities are limited. By the way, all this month when you give a gift to Daily Hope to help take the hope of Jesus to a hurting world, generous friends of Daily Hope are going to match your gift up to $50,000. But you only have till midnight on June 30th to make your gift go twice as far. Call 800-600-5004 to get this powerful resource. Or you can visit PastorRick.com. Again, that's 800-600-5004 or PastorRick.com.
Once again, here's Rick.
Matthew 12:36. It's up here on the screen. It's something Jesus said. Here's what he said. I tell you this, that you will give an account on judgment day of every careless word you have spoken. That ought to send shivers up your spine. How many times have I complained, grumbled, argued about something when I shouldn't have been sweating the small stuff? Don't sweat the small stuff is law number one of life. Law number two is it's all small stuff. Or at least most of it is. The Bible says this in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, people ask all the time, Rick, what's God's will for my life? There it is. In everything, give thanks. Really? Yes, that is God's will. When you do that, God will show you step B. Now, notice, circle the word in. It does not say for. It does not say for everything, give thanks. It says in everything, give thanks. There are a lot of things I shouldn't be thankful for. I'm not thankful for war. I'm not thankful for leukemia and cancer. I'm not thankful for people who get raped and molested. I'm not thankful for racial injustice. And I'm not. There's a lot of evil in the world. To be thankful for evil is a perversion of what God teaches in His Word. The Bible doesn't say you're to be thankful for everything. It says you're to be thankful in everything. Why? Well, remember when I did the series on grief and the last one I talked about five ways to use your pain? I can use it to draw closer to God. I can use it to draw closer to others. I can use it to grow more like Christ. I can use it as a ministry to serve others. And I can use it as a platform of witness. I can be thankful in a situation because I know, Romans 8:28, in all things, God works for the good. Not everything's good, but in all things, God works for the good. We've covered this many times. And so in everything, I can give thanks because I know that if I respond correctly, God could turn crucifixions into resurrections. He loves to change beauty for ashes, or ashes into beauty. So in everything, give thanks. In other words, be grateful and never grumble. Be grateful for what you do have. Question, do you think you would be happier if you followed this second exercise every day? You grumbled less and were more grateful? Duh. Okay, again, it's not rocket science, okay? But if you want to have a happy heart, you do what God's word says. And the first thing is to remember that God is always with me, God is always in me, and God is always for me. That makes me happy. And I should be grateful and not grumble, not complain and argue, and be grateful for what I have, not what I don't have. Study after study has shown that gratitude is the healthiest attitude psychologically. Number three, the third exercise to maintain a healthy or happy heart is this. This is a big one. Keep my conscience clear. That's verse 15. Because one of the things that causes us to lose our happiness is feeling guilty or feeling ashamed. And the Bible says if you want to be happy, you got to get rid of guilt. You got to get rid of guilt. You cannot be guilty and happy at the same time. So you got to maintain a clear conscience. Look at these verses, Philippians 2:15. You are to live clean and pure lives as children of God in a broken and corrupted generation. You know, that was written 2,000 years ago. Generations are still broken and corrupted, aren't they? Human nature doesn't change. Everything else does, but human nature doesn't. You're to live clean and pure lives as children of God in a broken and corrupted generation. You are to shine like stars lighting up a dark world. What a beautiful image. That you live such a clean life. You live such a life of integrity. You live such a life of purity. You live with a clear conscience. You live with such authenticity. Your life is an open book in such a way when people look at you go, man, they are a star. And it's like when you take diamonds. A jeweler will always put diamonds on black velvet. Why? Because they shine brighter against a black backdrop. And as the world and culture becomes more dark, as cultures crumble, Christians are to shine brighter and brighter. Let me show you a couple of other verses that say the same thing. Psalm 119, 1 and 2 says this, happy are those who live pure lives, who follow the Lord's teaching, keep his rules, and who try to obey him with their whole heart. Jesus said it like this, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You know what the word blessed means? It's the word for happy in Greek. When Jesus gets up and does the Beatitudes, blessed are you when you do this, blessed are the meek, blessed are the poor in spirit, you know, blessed are you when you hunger and thirst for righteousness. He's saying, let me give you eight ways to be happy. He starts a sermon. The greatest sermon ever on eight ways to be happy. And he says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You're going to be, the happier your heart is, it's because it's a pure heart. It's a clean heart. Psalm 32 verse 1 tells us what to do when we don't have a clean heart. Because a lot of us, you say, well, wait a minute, I'd like to be happy. But how can I keep my conscience clear when it's not clear right now? Well, then you need to do what Psalm 32:1 says. What happiness for those whose guilt has been forgiven. What joys when sins are covered over. What relief for those who have confessed their sins and God has cleared their record. That's, I call that the soap dish verse of the Bible. It just cleans us. Now, circle the word happiness and joy and relief. You know, those are three things that everybody is looking for in life. We all want to be happy. We all want to enjoy life. And we all want relief from our pain. And the Bible says it comes from purity. And purity comes from forgiveness, from God's grace. What happiness, what joy, what relief for those who've confessed their sins and God has cleared their record. So here's a third exercise to maintain a happy heart. I got to keep a clear conscience. That means I keep short accounts with God. That means at the beginning and at the end of every day, I do a spiritual inventory and I say, God, is there anything between me and you? I'm not going to bed tonight with junk. I had some garbage today that I picked up from bad attitudes, bad reactions, things I said, things I did, and I'm not going to climb into bed tonight with this sack of garbage and get up in the morning and carry it off again. No, no, no. I'm going to deal with it. You practice what's called spiritual breathing. You breathe out your sins in confession. You breathe them in. You breathe them in. Breathe in God's power and cleansing. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God has promised this. So I keep my conscience clear. I keep short accounts of God. How would your house smell if you took out the garbage once a week? Pretty stinky. You usually have to take it out every day. And you need to do that spiritually too. You need to take out the garbage every day. And if you do that, you'll have a happier heart. You have confession to God every day and you get cleansing and forgiveness. Number four. The fourth exercise to maintaining a happy heart is the next verse, verse 16. And this is that I need to memorize God's word and live it. Now, this is an extremely important habit of happiness. I've told you many times that if you're feeling depressed, if you're acting depressed, it's because you feel depressed. And if you're feeling depressed, it's because you're thinking depressed thoughts. If you want to get out of your depression, you change the way you think. You be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And you have to change your mind. And how do you do that? How do I wash out the depressive thoughts in my mind? Well, there are many ways. Sometimes there's a chemical way, you know, if there's a chemical reaction. And sometimes there's an emotional way. And sometimes there's a relational way. And sometimes there's a spiritual way. The Bible talks about the washing of the water of the word. If I choose to dwell on a worry, have you noticed when you dwell on a worry, it gets bigger? It doesn't get smaller the more you worry about something. The more you worry, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Now, if you know how to worry, you already know how to meditate on the Word of God. Because worry is when you take a negative thought and you think on it over and over and over and over and over and over and over. That's called worry. When you take a passage of Scripture and you think on it over and over and over and over and over, that's called meditation. And God has promised many, many wonderful benefits in your life if you will meditate on the Word of God and then do it. You'll hear it, and you'll study it, and you memorize it. Do you remember when we did 40 days on the Word? Do you remember the hand illustration? That might be a good idea to just go here and review that hand illustration, okay? There are six ways that you can fill your mind with God's Word. There are six ways you can get a grasp on God's Word. You can hear it, you can read it, you can study it, you can memorize it, you can meditate it on it, and you can apply it. Now, look up here. If all you do, if your only intake of the Word of God is hearing the Word of God, you don't have a very good grip on the Word. For instance, if I am trying to hold on the Word of God with just my pinky, Satan come along, he can easily pull that out. Very easy to pull it out. Why? Because we forget 90 to 95% of everything we hear within 72 hours. That's why I never teach without handing you one of these things, because this is going to last longer than your memory. And if you don't take notes, you're going to forget everything I've said by Wednesday, except maybe 5%. And if you've never taken notes, you could have been at Saddleback for 30 years and only remembered 5% of everything I've said. And that's probably the jokes. So if all you do is hear the Word of God, your only intake of the Bible is coming to church, you have no grip on the Word of God. And it can be pulled out of your mind very, very easily. But if you begin to hear it and you read it now, you read it every day, now you got a better grip. Okay, you got a little bit better grip, and it's harder for Satan to pull it away because you're not just hearing it, you're reading it. You've got a better grip, okay? But if you hear it and you read it and you study it, and we talked about that in 40 Days of Word, now you got a better grip. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might sin against you. And you meditate on it, you really think about it, you're not going to pull that out of my hand. And if I apply it, then I have a solid grip on the Word of God. Now, why is that important? Well, let's look at what Scripture says. Look at these verses. The Bible says in verse 16, Philippians 2:16, hold tightly to the word of life. And that's what I was just saying. You got to hold tightly. You got to get a good grip on it. You don't have a good grip on the Bible unless you're doing all six habits. Hearing it, reading it, studying it, memorizing it, meditating on it, then it can't be pulled out. Hold tightly, the Bible says, to the Word of God. Why should I do that? Psalm 119, 16 says, your principles make me happy, so I never forget your word. Now look at that verse for just a minute. Question. You want to be happy? Obviously you do. Principles, God's principles make us happy. How do I remember God's principle? I never forget. Circle, never forget. That means you need to memorize. You need to memorize. And you know, that's why we do this a lot in services. We'll memorize a verse in service because it's the only way you're never going to forget it is to memorize it. And look at the next verse. Lead me in the path of your commands because that is where my happiness is found. Usually we're looking for happiness in all the wrong places. God says, happiness is found where? In the path of God's commands. The fourth exercise is to maintain a happy heart by memorizing God's word and then living it. Get a grip. Hold tightly to the word of life, Paul says.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We're so happy that you've chosen to study along with us today. If you'd like to receive hope and encouragement every day, delivered right to your inbox, then sign up for Rick's free daily devotional. Just go to PastorRick.com right now. Rick will be back to close out our time today, but first, most people look for happiness in all the wrong places. You won't find it through money, fame, or power. You'll only find real, lasting happiness by following God's commands. That's why Pastor Rick created the Habits of Happiness Bible Study. Here's Rick to tell you more.
I'm very excited about this new tool that we're offering to you. In this resource, you're going to learn how seeing things from God's perspective will help you develop the biblical habits of happiness. And you're going to discover how happiness runs deeper than any circumstance or any feeling or any relationship. Now, I'm excited because this book is filled with biblical truth, practical lessons, application exercises, and a lot of space for you to write down your responses to what God is teaching you. It's a really powerful workbook, and it's a comprehensive study tool I believe is going to help you grow to your next level of spiritual maturity.
Call 800-600-5004 to get this powerful resource, or you can visit PastorRick.com. By the way, all this month when you give a gift to Daily Hope to help take the hope of Jesus to a hurting world, generous friends of Daily Hope are going to match your gift up to $50,000. But you only have till midnight on June 30th to make your gift go twice as far. And as a special thanks, we'll send you a copy of the Habits of Happiness Bible Study book. Call 800-600-5004 or just visit PastorRick.com. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.